This recording is for the Robert Greenstein teleconference for the Senate on Budget and Policy, scheduled for Thursday, September 12, 2013, at 12 p.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speaker in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Shannon Spillane. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thanks so much, Tiffany. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining today's call. I'm Shannon Spillane, Communications Director with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities in Washington, D.C. Today's call will focus on our new report that examines cuts in state funding for K-12 education. You should have received the report via email this morning, and it's also available on the homepage of our website. Our speaker today is Michael Leachman, Director of State Fiscal Research here at the Center, and he's co-author of the new report. Following Michael's remarks, we'll turn to your questions. I'll now turn it over to Michael.
Great. Thanks, everybody, for being on the call. I'm Mike Leachman, State Director of State Fiscal Research. The report that we released today finds that states' new budgets are providing less per-student funding for their K-12 schools than they did 6 years ago, often far less. At a time when states and the nation are trying to produce workers with the skills to master new technologies and adapt to the complexities of a global economy, this decline in state educational investment is deeply concerning. Over the next few minutes, I'm going to cover 3 points. First, I'm going to highlight the findings of our research, including the primary finding that states' new budgets are providing less per pupil funding for their K-12 schools than they did before the recession. Second, I'm going to talk about the damaging consequences of school funding cuts. Finally, I'm going to say a bit about why states have cut school funding. First, let me tell you about our research and our major findings. Here's what we did. We looked at general state aid for schools, sometimes referred to as foundation or formula funding, and adjusted for inflation and changes in school enrollment. Here's what we found. At least 34 states, that is about two-thirds of states, are providing less funding per student for the current 2013-14 school year than they did before the recession hit. 13 of these states have cut per student funding by more than 10%. The findings for states with the deepest cuts are startling. Oklahoma cut its general school funding by nearly 23%. Alabama has cut its funding by 20%. We're hearing lots of reports that state budget problems are easing, but despite the fact that most states are seeing modest increases in tax revenues, schools in around a third of states are entering the new school year with less state funding than they had last year. At least 15 states are providing less funding per student to local school districts in the new school year than they provided a year ago. Where funding has increased, it generally has not increased enough to make up for cuts in past years. Now I want to describe some of the damaging consequences of these funding cuts for the educational experiences of students and for state economies in the short and long run. Let's be clear. State-level K-12 cuts have large consequences for local school districts. These consequences are real and damaging because local schools are generally unable to make up for the lost state funds. Nearly half of total education spending in the United States comes from state funds, so cuts at the state level mean that local school districts have to either scale back the educational services they provide, raise more local tax revenue to cover the gap, or both. If local school districts could easily raise the money necessary to replace lost state aid on their own, then the damage wouldn't be so great. But that's not the case. Many of the nation's real estate markets are still weak, making it very difficult for many school districts to raise more money from the property tax, the primary source of local funding for schools. Of course, local governments could raise property tax rates, but that's often politically very difficult, especially with the economy still so weak. The evidence bears out these difficulties. Localities are collecting 2.1% less in property tax revenue this year than they were last year after adjusting for inflation. So in general, local governments aren't making up for funding cuts at the state level. When states cut funding, local school districts end up with less, and that means cuts, layoffs, shorter school years, and bigger class sizes, for example. Those sorts of cuts are damaging not only to the experiences of students, but also to the national economy. As of August 2013, local school districts had cut a total of 324,000 jobs since 2008. These job losses have reduced the purchasing power of workers' families, in turn reducing overall economic consumption. That made the recession deeper and is making the recovery take longer. School cutbacks also harm the economy in the long run by undermining promising education reforms that would improve the quality of education children receive. Let me mention three examples. First, research suggests that teacher quality is the most important school-based determinant of student success. So recruiting, developing, and retaining high-quality teachers is essential to improving student achievement. But that gets harder to do when school districts are cutting their budgets. Second, evidence suggests that smaller class sizes can boost achievement, especially in the early grades and for low-income students. But small class sizes are difficult to sustain when schools are cutting teachers and enrollments are increasing. In fact, 54% of school administrators said that they increased class sizes in the 2012 school year, and 57% expected to do so in the 2013 school year. Third, many education policy experts believe that more student learning time can improve achievement. In a number of states and school districts, however, budget cuts are making it more difficult to extend instructional opportunities. For example, the Los Angeles and Philadelphia school districts have significantly scaled back their summer school programs. Deep state funding cuts make it harder for states to improve their schools in these basic and important ways. And if states aren't able to improve their schools, that harms the nation's long-term economic competitiveness. Now I'm going to say a few words about why states have cut funding as much as they have. There are four main reasons. First, state revenues are still down because of the recession. Revenues are starting to improve across the country, but they remain 2.8% below 2008 levels after adjusting for inflation. Second, costs are rising. Some states have kept their school funding flat, but that's not good enough when you've got more kids to educate, and states have about 775,000 more K-12 students to educate than they did before the recession hit. Costs in other parts of state budgets also have increased since the recession hit, adding to the demands on limited state funds. There are some 3.2 million more public college and university students than there were in the 2008 school year, and some 8.7 million more people are estimated to be eligible for Medicaid this year than were enrolled in 2008, as employers have canceled their coverage and people have lost jobs and wages. Third, states have disproportionately relied on spending cuts to close the very large budget shortfalls they've faced over the last several years, rather than a more balanced mix of spending cuts and revenue increases. They could have lessened the cuts to education funding and made more progress in restoring the funding that's been lost if they'd been more willing to raise additional revenue. Some states have done even worse. They've cut taxes at a time when their revenue systems already are hurting, making the hole even deeper. Of the seven states that have cut school funding by more than 15% since 2008, five have worsened their budget problems since the recession hit by cutting personal or corporate income taxes, or both. Those five states are Oklahoma, Arizona, Kansas, Idaho, and Wisconsin. And the other two, Alabama and South Carolina, are low-spending states that certainly haven't raised revenue. Making the situation even more difficult for states, federal aid for schools has fallen. Not only has emergency federal fiscal relief to states dried up, but federal policymakers have cut ongoing federal funding for states and localities worsening state fiscal conditions. For example, since 2010, federal spending for Title I, the major federal assistance program for high poverty schools, is down 12% after adjusting for inflation, and federal spending on disabled education is down 11%. These cuts include the automatic across-the-board cuts known as sequestration and the cuts required by the Budget Control Act of 2011. In closing, let me return to the bottom line. States' new budgets are providing less per pupil funding for their K-12 schools than they did 6 years ago, often far less. Education is key to the aspirations of individual children, and it's also key to the country's future economic growth. As such, the deep cuts that many states have made in their support for schools should concern all of us.